Daniel chapter 3, verse 8 to 30. Shall we all rise for the reading of God's word? Let's read responsively. I'll start with verse 8, and the congregation can read the next verse, and we all end on verse 30. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Verse 10, Thou, O King, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. There are certain Jews whom Thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They serve not Thy gods, nor worship the golden image which Thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. Verse 26, Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Study together. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for this account, Lord, in the Bible, how you protected your servants. I pray, dear Lord, as we open up your word to listen to your word right now, you teach us the examples of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what it means to make a stand for you, what it means to be on fire for you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name we pray. See that? Short exhortation from Daniel chapter 3, a familiar passage that I'm sure most of us are familiar with. But I think very often as Christians, sometimes when we read these stories to our children, when they are young, before their bed, and we think that, oh, it's just a Bible story. But the thing about it is wonderful that how God actually delivered his servants out of the fire. The title for today's message is Being on Fire for God. Literally, yeah. Being on fire for God. Being on fire for God. A short background, I am given only 20 minutes, so I'll try to hurry. Short background, the kingdom of Babylon. The Babylonian kingdom in the ancient days is today known as Iraq, basically Iraq. And King Nebuchadnezzar is one of the most notorious kings of that time. And so he conquered many the different lands and different empires. So the Jewish people also came under the Babylonian Empire at one point in time. So you have four young men that were mentioned prominently in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, of course, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These four Jewish men were highly regarded by King Nebuchadnezzar. If you read Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, it was because Daniel was able to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So he was promoted, and then they honored God, and Nebuchadnezzar honored them. So the religious climate at the time, it wasn't a Christian nation. The Babylonian kingdom wasn't a Christian nation. It was a pagan empire. So many commentators believe that King Nebuchadnezzar actually wanted to set up this gold image and wanted the people to bow down to this gold image because he wanted to unify the different empires and different kingdoms. Kind of like North Korea, where the king, not the king, the president of North Korea, Kim Jong-un now, and previous presidents, they have to bow down before the golden statue of the great leader and the dear leader. So this kind of a situation where the people were forced down to bow. And then, of course, you know that the Hebrew men were told that you're not supposed to bow down, according to scriptures, before any other gods except the one and true God, the true and living God. So, to recap what happened just now in the scriptures that you just read, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were forced. Or rather, King Nebuchadnezzar made a law saying that everyone have to bow down before this golden image that I have set up. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of course, said, no, we will obey God, we are not going to bow down before this image. And what I'm going to talk about today from the Bible is I want to challenge believers to understand that faith and convictions through God's word will lead to fruitful outcomes according to the Bible. I want to go through the five F's of being on fire for God. Just five F's of being on fire for God. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, let's turn to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. Verse 16 and 18. Verse 16 and 18. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, are you not going to bow down before this golden image we have set up? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. The first F I want you to notice and remember is the firm conviction. The firm conviction of these Hebrew children. They did not come before the king when they said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. The word careful there means, basically they are saying this, O king, there is no need for us to answer you in this matter. We are not anxious. There is no need for us to discuss about this. Think about this. This is firm conviction. The Hebrews had conviction so strong that they were not seek to please man. They would rather please God. In the book of Galatians, if you have time, of course you have time. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. The apostle Paul says, for do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It is easy to have convictions. When a time in a Christian country, in a church, when you have people that are friendly towards you, it's easy to have convictions. But this Hebrew man told the king that even if God chooses not to preserve our life, even if God chooses not to preserve our life, we will still do what is right. We will still do what is right. Convictions need to be made before circumstances arise. And very often, as Christians, we are guilty. You know what happens? That we think, okay, no, don't worry about it. I won't think about it. Only when the circumstances or situation arise, then I'll make a decision then. But that's not biblical conviction. Biblical conviction is to know what God says and then stick to it, whether it's difficult or easy. These three Hebrew men were not in a Christian nation. They were not in an environment where it was easy for them to worship God, yet they had such convictions. Yet our modern Christians' excuse for not serving or worshipping or praying is a lack of time, inconvenience, tiredness. There's no need to... You see, these Hebrew children, when they came before the king, they did not come and say, "Oh, king, you want me to bow down before the image? Okay, come, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come, let's all three come together and let's discuss whether we should do it or not. Let's set up a committee and discuss what is right and what is wrong about it. Does it affect us if we bow down before the image?" No. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, "No, we will obey God. We will obey God no matter what the outcome is." Do we have firm convictions like the Hebrew men? Not only in time of peace, but in difficult times. I think modern-day Christianity is teaching us a lot of things. You go to many the modern Christian, the emerging church movement. What they teach us is that you just do what you want. Just do what your heart says to you. Just do what you feel like doing. But that's not Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity is doing what God asks you to do. There's firm conviction. Possible execution did not stop these young Hebrew men from serving God. What will stop us from serving God? So the first F I want you to remember is the firm convictions of these people. The second F, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." The second F I want you to notice is the faith of this Hebrew man. Faith of this Hebrew man. The reason why the Hebrews have such strong conviction was because of their faith. Because of their faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, let's all turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The word evidence means proof that leads to conviction. The word says seeing is believing, right? We all heard that seeing is believing. But Bible teaches that faith is believing without even having to see. Faith is believing even without having to see. The Hebrew men had faith, had convictions because they had strong faith in God. But the Christian faith, many people say that, "Oh, Christians is just blind faith. You just believe without actually thinking." But the Christian faith is no blind faith. It is a faith that is based on God and His Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the faith, the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing by the Word of God." Understand this, as Christians, if you want to have convictions, you need to have faith. And where do faith come from, the Bible says? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. Parents, that's why, the reason why these Hebrew young men were able to have such strong convictions was because, according to the Jewish custom, the young children were trained in scriptures from young. So parents, can I exhort you, can I encourage you to train your children in the scriptures? It doesn't matter if they are still at age, we don't understand everything yet, but the Hebrew actually teaches their children the scriptures from young. So when the time comes, they're able to make a stand for God. They're able to make a stand for God. An example, when I was 10 years ago, I just graduated from... it was during my university school holidays. After JC, I can't remember. So I was quite broke at the time because I wasn't working. So during the holidays, I actually got the job offer to work during the holidays. And the pay was not bad. But then also, it was a vacation Bible school then. So someone came and asked me, "Hey, do you want to help out in the vacation Bible school?" So I was thinking, should I help out in the vacation Bible school? Or should I work a holiday job? I was thinking, I reasoned in myself. I said, actually, it doesn't matter lah. Previous vacation Bible school, I kind of help out. Why not this year I work because I kind of broke? Let me work this school holidays. And then the Lord spoke to me in the verse that says in the book of Proverbs, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom." I was doing my daily Bible reading and the verse spoke to me. I was like, "Okay, God, you have spoken. I'm not going to take up a holiday job." So I called them and say, "I'm not going to take up the holiday job." And the reason I felt really at peace after that, and the reason why I had such strong conviction wasn't because I'm more holy or what. It was because the Word of God told me, "Cease from thy own wisdom and labor not to be rich." So with that, with a firm conviction, with faith, I trusted God. And I didn't starve during the holidays. God provided. I even got love offerings from during the holiday from people that I don't know who. So God provides the faith of the Hebrew people. Second F, the faith of the Hebrew people. The third F, I want you to notice in chapter 3, verse 19 and 21. So the first F we have the firm conviction of the Hebrew man, and then the second F, the faith of the Hebrew man. The third F, I want you to notice, very important, in verse 19 and 21, the Bible says, there was Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that he should, that the furnace, that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it ought to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men with the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fire furnace. The third F I want you to notice is the fiery furnace of the Christian life. The Hebrews did the right thing. The Hebrews did the right thing. Did they do the right thing? They did the right thing. And yet what happened to them? They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And sometimes when we difficulties come to our life and we ask, God, why is this happening to me? Why did I do something wrong? Neither did the Hebrew children. I call them children because they were young men. The Hebrew young men didn't do anything wrong. And yet, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Think about that. They were literally on fire for God. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In John chapter 16, verse 33, the Bible says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The Bible guarantees Christians that when you become a Christian, you will definitely experience difficulties and testings and trials. That's what happened to this Hebrew young man. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. There are many brands of Christianity preachers today that once you become a Christian, oh, all your problems will be gone, life will be good. That's true to a certain extent, but God also promises difficulties. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to verse 16. If you read Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 16, the passage is about Ananias. The Lord came to Ananias in a vision and told Ananias, I want you to go to Saul, also known later as Paul, and tell him that he's my chosen vessel. I want you to help him. Not tell him he's my chosen, to help him and to grow in Christ and to help in his ministry. And in verse 16, the Bible says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I show him how great things he must achieve for my name's sake. No, he must suffer for my name's sake. God had plans for Paul to suffer for his name's sake. The same for many Christians. So the first F I want you to notice is the firm conviction of the Hebrew children. The second F I want you to notice is the faith. And the third F is the fiery furnace. The fourth F I want you to notice. Daniel chapter 3. The fourth F I want you to notice is the fellowship in the fire. The fellowship in the fire. You look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Verse 14, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Verse 19, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Verse 20, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 22, 23, 26, 28, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's a fellowship in the fire. Think about this. When these three Hebrew men made a stand for God, they made a stand collectively. They didn't say, don't worry, you go ahead first. Let God work in me first, then I make a stand for God. They didn't. They made a stand together. There was fellowship in the fire. Listen to Psalms 133, verse 1. Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Psalms 133, verse 1. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The Bible says that we are one body in Christ as Christians, as a church. We are one body in Christ. So when one part of the body hurts, the other part of the body hurts as well, right? So this young Hebrew man, they had fellowship in the fire. They made a stand together with God. So one thing I want you to notice that in Psalm 133 verse 1 and all the other Bible verses about the unity of Christ, the unity of the body of Christ, you notice that the Bible did not promise that all is well, that there will be no conflicts between brothers and sisters, there will be no conflicts between the believers of Christ. The Bible didn't promise that. The Bible says that if you dwell together in unity with one cause of believing in Christ and serving Christ, That's a good thing. But the Bible doesn't promise that all is well. There will be no conflict and friction. But there's fellowship in the fire. So the fellowship with other believers is one thing. The next fellowship I want you to notice is fellowship with God. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. If you look at verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of fire? They answered and said to the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And when you are in the fire, there's fellowship with God as well. There's fellowship with God as well. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo," the Bible says, God says, "I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. You all know this verse. The Lord Jesus says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." There's fellowship with God in the fire. There's fellowship with God in the fire. So the first F, we have the firm conviction of the Hebrew young man. And then we have the faith of the Hebrew young man. And then we have the fiery furnace. And then, but in the midst of all this, there is also fellowship with the believers and fellowship with God. The last F I want you to notice before I end, the last F I want you to notice in Daniel chapter 3, verse 27, is the fruit of their faith, the fruit of the faith. "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king counselors," in verse 27, "being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of them singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them." So what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fire, and the king said, "How come they are not burning, and I see someone else inside, a fourth person inside? Come on out." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came up, and they were not burned. Not even their clothing were burned. You know, during the haze, when I was doing my laundry, every piece of laundry that I take out from the service yard smelled like the haze. So for the next few days, I had to wear clothes that smelled like haze, even though the haze was gone. But this was a case where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire. They didn't even have the smell of fire on them, the smell of smoke on them. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28 to 30. I want you to notice the fruit of their faith. "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake," very important, verse 28, "and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." And then he went on to make a decree that saying that every person in the land are not supposed to badmouth or say bad things about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the fruit of faith. God is glorified because three young men decided to make a stand for God. God was glorified. God's name was glorified. Because of the convictions and faith of this young Hebrew, a pagan king saw the might of God and saw who the real God is. That was the result and fruit of their decisions. Can I challenge you that sometimes when we make decisions for God, we may not see the results immediately. And often, I can say 90% of the time when we make decisions for God, the outcome is always unpleasant for us. On the surface, it's always unpleasant for us. And we don't see the results, the fruit of until much later. So the fruit of their faith of this young Hebrew man. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my father honor." The three young Hebrew men were also promoted in their jobs for making a stand for God. So in conclusion, to the five F that I want you to notice from this passage, the firm conviction of the young Hebrew man, the faith of the young Hebrew man, the fiery furnace they have to go through, the fellowship in the fire, and lastly, the fruit of their faith. A firm conviction by faith in God's word will always result in difficulties, but we ought to be like the Hebrew man who stuck to the decision to obey God rather than man. When the going gets tough for them, they didn't give up and rely on their faith. They didn't give up but relied on their faith, conviction, and fellowship with God and His people. As a result, God's name can be glorified and honored. Let's be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who despite saying that even God doesn't deliver us, we will still serve Him. Even if God doesn't deliver us, we will still obey Him and not bow down before the statue. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for Your word. We're thankful, Lord, for the godly examples of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We are thankful, Lord, You've given us this account, Lord, this true account in the Bible for us to learn. I pray, Lord, for every believer sitting here right now, Lord, that when the situation of difficulties come, Lord, we will always make decisions according to Scriptures, Lord. We will make decisions that will honor and glorify You. Lord, it is tough, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that You will give us strength and give us the courage and the boldness to do it, Lord. Lord, set us on fire for you, Lord. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help us to make stands, make convictions, and to have faith and set us on fire. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray.